We are not involved, as I said, organizationally, but of course the Orthodox leaders would be meeting with His Holiness, and they will, of course, be taking part in many of the activities that are going to take place all over the country. But there are, as far as I know, there are no Orthodox leaders coming from outside Lebanon to meet with him. As far as I know, now I may not have all the information, but I think that the Orthodox churches in Lebanon, the Orthodox dioceses and the Orthodox bishops would definitely be a part of the welcoming euphoria that is taking place, because we are very enthusiastic that the Pope is coming.
Could you give us an idea of what is the Orthodox community like there in Lebanon? How many Orthodox are there?
Yes. Well, there is no official census in Lebanon, but we estimate that perhaps the Orthodox in the country are around 400,000 people. We are organized in six dioceses. Each diocese is headed by a metropolitan, a bishop, and we exist all over Lebanon, in Beirut as well as in many parts of Lebanon. There are parts where the Orthodox are even a majority, and there are parts where they are a minority. But the Orthodox Church in Lebanon is under the auspices of the Patriarch of Antioch and all the East. The Patriarch of Antioch is traditionally one of the earliest patriarchs, but his headquarters now, he resides and operates out of Damascus. And the Patriarchate of Antioch encompasses Lebanon, Syria, and the Gulf areas where there are priests and a bishop that take care of the faithful there who have come out of Syria and Lebanon to work in the Gulf, Arabian Gulf countries, in addition to bishops all over the globe who are sent to administer those who have emigrated or migrated from Lebanon to Europe, let's say to Australia, to Mexico, to the United States, Canada, etc.
So will some of these Orthodox Church leaders be coming to Beirut for the events?
I don't know that. I cannot offer a foolproof, sure answer. I have not heard that they are coming, because I think those who would be greeting him are mainly from Lebanon. You know, now, of course, Syria, the situation there is not very good, so I don't know if they're would be people coming from Syria to Lebanon due to the situation.
Pope Benedict is delivering to the Catholic bishops of the Middle East the concluding document of their synod.
Yes.
And that addresses the challenges facing the Christians in the region. In your view, what are some of the most pressing problems for Christians, no matter what denomination they're from?
I will say that, of course, the most evident one is the danger that many of them feel due to the growing Islamic fundamentalism that is everywhere in the area. And also they're afraid that some of the countries where those who are seeing old regimes being toppled and new ones coming, and of course we are all glad that the dictators are going, but they are also not very sure about what is coming with respect to who will be taking power and how they will be treated and things like that. So there is some kind of concern. There is, of course, another danger that is perhaps not only facing the Christians, but it is a danger of people not being, especially with respect to the younger generations, not being as much committed to their faith as much as before. And this is now being really, there are huge efforts to combat this with respect to catechism, with respect to so many things. But this secularism and the new technologies that are coming and everything, they are, of course, affecting the attendance in churches and the commitment. And this would be felt among the Christians more than it would be felt among other people because their number is much smaller. I mean, no one can tell you exactly how many Christians there are still residing in the Arab world, but I would not put the number more than 20 million, if not less than that. There are people who put it in less than that.
When I talk with people, with Christians from the Middle East, many times they say they don't look at the church that they come from, their denomination, whether they're Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox. They all feel they're in the same boat, so to speak, there in the Middle East. How do you see ecumenical relations between the churches there?
I can talk more about Lebanon because I have criticisms about how this is being tackled in other countries. I think in Lebanon, and I have written about that, I've talked about that, I think Lebanon is the most ecumenical country on the planet today. And I'm not really exaggerating or just voicing wishful thinking, because Lebanon has seen many developments which have made Lebanon and to a certain extent Syria and perhaps other parts, because it has witnessed several factors that have pushed into this. One of them is the demographic displacement and migration because of the war, which made them move from one place to the other. One of them is, as a result of that, intermarriages that are now prevalent, and also the fact that the churches are collaborating on so many levels, and the fact that because of intermarriage, because demography, because of this and that, because their kids are being taught in schools, they may belong to one denomination and their kids are in a school that belongs to another denomination or another church, which means that now they are being more open, they are embracing each other, they are praying in each other's churches, etc., etc. And I can just highlight one example of what I'm saying, is that in Lebanon, for example, I'm the coordinator of the Joint Christian Education Committee. For the first time in the world, we are producing now a common Christian education program, which is being used by many, many churches and by many schools all around the country. And this is really a sign of hope. Perhaps there were negative factors, but they are pushed into something positive. Now, on the other hand, I feel that churches need to do more on the level of leadership and on the level of programs to meet the what is happening on the ground level. That means they need to do more with respect to grouping people together, bringing them together, and then making them feel that they are all really not only in the same boat because they're facing the same challenges, but because we are really one church.
The political tensions in Lebanon have really severely divided Christians in the past. To what extent is that a problem today?
They have divided them, not religiously, but they have divided them politically. Because some of them, you know, Lebanon now is, many people are divided into two camps. And in both camps, there are Christians from all denominations. So this is, of course, affecting them, because it is making them feel that they should not be that. There is some kind of feeling, if not belief, even among the Muslims, that when the Christians are okay together, the country is okay. One of the main reasons that is making our country facing all these troubles is because the Christians are divided. And we do not see why they are divided, because on the level of principles and political and other principles, all of them talk the same language, but it's a matter of following this leader or that leader. It's really a matter of just political strife.
Are you involved in the interfaith dialogue there in Lebanon at all?
Yes.
Can you tell me how is that going, and what are some of the greatest challenges to that dialogue?
Interfaith dialogue, which means between the Christians and the Muslims, I presume you're saying.
Yes, yes.
Well, there are two kinds of dialogue, of course. There is the intellectual dialogue, or there's a dialogue among the scholars or about religious leaders or religious people. And this is going quite well, I presume, because there is a lot of it going on. And there is also what I call the dialogue of life. And this is fine in some areas, not fine in other areas. Depends on which area you're talking. For example, I reside in the Muslim part of Beirut, and my parish is also in the Muslim part of Beirut, and I have excellent relations because the people here, Christians and Muslims, have woven some kind of daily living, which is beautiful. That's an example to follow, and this has existed or is existing in many other parts of Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and in many other countries as well. But this is needs to be fortified, because I think that the Ministry of Education in the country, the state, need to have more programs to make people more aware of each other, to make them mix, to mix the schools, to make the, because you have to start at the ground level. And I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Now, of course, I think it's better than before now, because during the war, the country was more divided along being either Christian or Muslim. Now, things have, both political factions in the country have Muslims and Christians on either side, and they are dealing with each other in a very good way. But again, you cannot just have one yardstick, one measure, and say this applies to all the country. Unfortunately, many parts of the country, the Christians left, and it's predominantly Muslims, and in other parts of the country, you can say the same thing about the Christian presence.
You are one of the Christians there in Lebanon. You're not a Catholic, but what do you see as being perhaps the positive message that Pope Benedict is bringing with him on this visit?
The positive message that he's bringing is that, of course, being the head of the Catholic Church, and I believe that the Church is one. I mean, we say the Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church. I think that the Church is one because this is the way our Lord sees it. Our Lord sees the Church as one, not divided. We have divided it. But he is, of course, the Christian, so to speak, leader. He's the leader of the Christians in the world, and in a moral sense, not only of the Catholic Church. So I think the message that he's bringing is a message of hope. It's a message of determination. It's a message of be together. It's a message of reconciliation. And it's a message of do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is, many people were talking about the dangers that may block his visit. And they were saying, will he come in this situation that the country is passing through? And yet we have seen his determination. And I think that this is a lesson for us all to follow. I mean, what a more formidable lesson than what he was bringing. It's a blessing for the country. It's a real blessing for the country, for the Middle East in general.